Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I am your host, Brad Weekman, and this week I have Charles Bunning with me. Charles is, I've been in a boat with you in quite a few different lakes, and in this case we're at the hashtag 2024 LOZ Fish Camp event, media camp. And we went out fishing, didn't we? How'd that turn out?
Yes, we did. We had a good time. We caught some fish and got a lot of conversation and had a good, enjoyed it.
Yeah, so I know we've been in the boat and we've talked a lot about pre-LiveScope and LiveScope this and the old days. But we actually went fishing in docks, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We go out and, of course, I looked at the dock. The difference now than it was the old days is you look under it and see if there's a fish there or not.
Right.
So if there's fish there, then you know you're fishing for something. Uh-huh.
In the old days, you couldn't do that, right?
No, the old days, you just went from dock to dock to dock.
Was there certain docks that were better than other docks, though? I mean, you're pretty crafty. You guys are pretty smart. I'm sure you got good at picking out.
I guess when Side Imaging come out in 07, 08, we was one of the first ones to have that. So we was able to do the same thing, but not in detail.
Right.
You know, we might see a brush pile that we think is crappie, and they're not crappie in there. Now you can pinpoint that. But so I'd say one out of every 50 docks is holding fish.
Wow.
And docks that was holding fish on Monday was not holding fish yesterday. So the docks that you and I went to and we left a lot of fish, I went back yesterday on my second trip out and there was nothing but a brush pile there with no fish in it. The first two, two main docks that you and I caught fish on was empty.
Wow.
So they just, and then we went to just started fishing and found another one that was loaded and ended up catching 29 crappie. So I caught my 15 and my partner caught 14 in our 2.5 hours.
Yeah. So dock fishing, do you have any tips for dock fishing? Say let's do dock fishing without live scope, because you did that for, I'm not going to say how old you are, you did it for a while, and then tell us a tip for fishing boat docks with a live scope.
Okay, so forever, before we was dock shooting, you know, when Travis was probably 10 years old, 18 years old, we would go out and we'd start dock shooting. We'd go down a row of docks, and we would, any dock that we could get into or shoot underneath to, we would shoot and try it. If we got a bite, then we would keep until they quit biting. You know, so it's always been the technique, the further you can get back under that dock in the shade, especially when the sun's out, is the better the bite's going to be.
Right.
So you cast under it, you let it, if you're in 40 foot of water, sometimes them fish are right underneath the floats.
Right.
So the second that that jig hits the water, boom, you'll see that line pop. And that's when it's fun.
Right.
But we've been doing it for years. And about got out of doing it because I don't come to Lake of the Ozarks like I used to, because when we started tournament fishing, we're running all over the country, so I don't have time just to come down and go fishing.
Right.
So wintertime we do, and then it's more brush pile fishing than it is dock fishing. But you want to be, the deal is get back as far as you can.
Okay.
So if you're throwing a 16th, you're going to get back here, say, 15 feet.
Right.
You put a eighth jig on there. Now you're going to get back there 20 to 25 feet. So the heaviest jig that you can get by with that they'll chase is what you want to throw.
All right.
And this weekend they wanted more movement. So actually the eighth was better because it got it down there. I'd watch it drop until it got over top of them. And then I would start pendling it back quick.
Uh-huh.
And they would sometimes they chased it all the way where it was a foot and a half under the water before they actually ate it. But they would chase it 20 feet before they would actually hit. So, but that's the way, you know. So now, prior to live scope, you didn't know what you were shooting for.
Right.
Now you just got to figure out what makes them bite. And what?
Because you're seeing them as they're following the baits, or
right?
As
you're
they
seeing
approach
them react.
The bait.
Yes. So you're actually watching them react, seeing them coming out of the brush or coming up, and then following it. So your catch ratio is a lot more because you figure out what they was doing. You know, normally they wanted a slope presentation coming back.
Right.
So you throw it under there and you just barely moving it. And then you want your 16th or as light as you can get by with. This, or they wanted it moving fast. So the faster you was moving it, the better off you were.
Interesting. So you've, once again, you've been around a while. Now there's a swing. There was a swing in rods, the fishing rod lengths and the rods themselves. That's all changed things. Like, everything's changed since
Livestock. Yeah, well, dock shooting, I think, of course, I'm sponsored by B&M since 05. When Travis and I won our first championship, that's when Jack asked us if we'd be interested in being on the pro staff. And they come out probably 5-6 years ago with a 6-foot dock shooting rod.
Right, yep. Yeah, dock shooter. That's a good rod.
6-foot dock shooter, and it is probably, far as I'm concerned, the best dock shooting rod out there.
Wow.
So I use it a lot when I am, and then I use the 7-foot 75th anniversary.
That's right. That's what you're using here, and tell them why you were able to use the 7-foot rod here.
Well,
compared to the 6-foot, the length.
Well, I was using it and shooting it the same way. But I was staying further back off the dock, and with that 7-footer, you know, I was able to do it. Right. Get it out there. The 6-footer, I can get closer to the dock and be able to shoot it. But
plus, you said the roofs are taller here.
Right. Well,
you know, like
that's what
like
I,
their boats are.
What we was doing there is that dock we pulled in, and we was shooting it. I was actually pulling in the slip, about halfway. And then shooting underneath the, in a condo dock, I call it, that had, you know, 8, 10, 12 slips in it. And then, so I'm in there 3/4, now I can shoot it. And then when I set the hook, I'm not hitting the ceiling with the 7-footer.
Yeah. How about some of the other rods? You know, they came out with that Diamond Series, and they got the Black Diamond Series,
The
15 and the 18. Talk about
the 14.
Which one's your favorite?
Okay, my favorite rod overall for long pulling is the 14-foot Blue Diamond. When B&M come out with that rod, it's the lightest 14-foot pole on the market. So you can handle that all day long. It's like I used to use the ultralight, the 12-foot ultralight, and it is the largest 12-footer on the market that B&M come out with. But when they come out with the Blue Diamond, the 14-foot for live scoping and everything, I've been using it. And it's, like I say, it's a real light pole. It's real sensitive. It's got a real good backbone. The tip is limber, you know, so you're not jerking the hook out of the mouth when you set the hook.
Right.
I mean, Travis sets the hook. He thinks he's setting it on a 30-pound buffalo or something. Because there's times at Grenada when he was fishing, he would actually, one day he caught a 2.5-pound crappie that he jerked it out of the water, and the fish was this far under the water.
Right.
So when he jerked that rod and set the hook, the fish went probably 6 foot up, and I caught it on the way down. And it was a 2.5-pound crappie.
Wow.
And he said that's how he sets them. So with that Blue Diamond, it's that tip is sensitive enough or limber enough that when he sets a hook, he's not jerking it out of their mouth.
Right.
So it's a really good rod. So then Jack come out, B&M, come out with the 16-foot Black Diamond.
Yep.
And with live scope, you just got to keep getting further out. And a lot of the live scopes has got a dead spot from about 10 to 12 foot in there that you can't see it. So they get a longer rod out there, and then that way you can get to the fish before you hit that dead spot.
Right.
So with that being said, I got them in my boat. When necessary, I use them.
Yeah.
Same way with the 18-foot rod.
Right.
And it's got a counterweight on it to help it balance, which really, you know, helps it. But it's still too much rod for me to hold in my hand for 8 hours. And the blue diamond, 14 foot, I can hold all day long, and it don't bother me. But the blue diamond is my go-to rod unless them fish are getting spooky and I need to get out that other 4 feet. And then I go to the 18 foot.
So the collapsible telescopic rods, when you were younger, did you guys, like, I mean, you probably, maybe at B&M or maybe they were, you know, the ones that pull out like Caps and Coleman. Did you use them ever? And do you use them now?
I used them some, and Ronnie and Steve just come out with a new one. That's I think 24 foot long.
Yeah, the Ambush.
Yes, and it's more than I can fish with. I went fishing with Steve. And here's Steve's got this 24 foot rod out there, and he's out there, boom, and he catches that fish, you know, and automatically he pulls it up, and then he swings it in the boat
like a machine.
And he's got it right back. I mean, down to it's a 6 foot rod instead of a 24 foot rod. I'd slide that, and I'm dropping the rod and everything else.
Give you a hard time? Did Steve give you a hard time?
Oh yeah, Steve. Oh, yeah, he's such a great guy.
He was probably waiting all day for you to catch one.
Yeah,
he's like, please let him catch one.
Oh, I mean, I'll caught some fish.
Yeah, but
I'm
not
used to, you know, sliding that rod back. But I'll tell you what, if you learn how to use that pole, it's deadly, because you can get out there 24 foot, dead stick them, and then you get it right back in. But he don't have any slack of line. He keeps all the slack out, and he can bring that rod all the way down, all the way back in.
That's crazy. So you haven't done much long lining or spider rigging, but if people were to go like spider rigging and stuff, if they were to go fishing without live scope, wouldn't you kind of recommend, like, if they wanted to catch fish, if they were meat eating, that spider rigging is a good way of doing it, or long lining?
We've spider rigged our whole life. What Travis and I took pride in is we brush pile fishing.
Right.
And we would try to hit 40 or 50 piles a day.
Wow.
Spider rigging. So we would actually he'd take off, we'd run to this bed, we'd put all 8 poles, 16 hooks in, we'd push them in the beds,
right,
and then let them set, come back, push them back till they quit biting, take all 8 rods up, run to the next one, and do it again. I mean, that's the way we turn all 3 national championships we won, that's the way we won them.
Wow.
I mean, and here, we won 3 consecutive tournaments 3 years in a row on this lake. On Lake of the Ozarks. And that was, all of them was spider rigging.
Yeah. So it's a great way to go catch fish. What I'm saying is there's still people that are maybe new to the sport or wanting to try crappie fish, but they don't want to use live scope.
Well, and that depends. It's so versatile because you're so far, you're on so many different parts of the country.
Right.
But as a whole, I like spider rigging, you know. Always have. And that's all we did before live scope.
Yeah.
I mean, our first, 30 year, I'll take it back. When we first started, all we knew was here. The first tournament we went to, we went down to a classic. I think it was on, it was down south. It might have been Kentucky. I don't know. And all these guys out there are 8 poles out and doing that. And Travis says, I don't know what they're doing, but they got to be cheating. So we get home, and he researched it and figured out what it was. And now we got 8 poles out there and fishing it. And that was the only way you could compete.
Right.
You know,
all the other ones had, you have to change at the time. But
right. But at that time, if you wanted to compete, you had you had to be spider rigging. You couldn't. I mean, you're like Ronnie and Steve, all the 8 national champions they won, and God knows how many tournaments they've won through their career. You know, and that's all they've ever done was spider rigging.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'll take that back. They do a lot of other style of fishing, but 90% of their tournament fishing was all spider rigging. But they are, you know, but for the common guy that wants to go out here and say right now, you go out here spider rigging, you go down these bluffs that got the lay downs and got the trees, them fish are suspended underneath it.
Right.
And it's relaxing if you're not fishing the piles or not fishing the trees, yeah, because you don't get hung up. You're just going to basically open water fishing.
Okay.
And so you can go out, you can take your kids out, you know, in my other boat, I got it set up. I take my grandkids out. I'll spider break today. My right. Travis's son, he's 9 years old, and I took him fishing. And after about a half hour live scoping, he didn't see any fish. He says, "Grandpa, can we just go fishing?"
Right.
You know, see. So, you know, that's sitting there looking at that screen and not seeing nothing. It's not no fun for a 9 year old.
Right.
So, yeah, spider rigging is a great way, you know, and B&M's got the poles to do it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for us, we use the 12-foot ultralights for everything.
Oh, all right.
We didn't, you know, for a long time, and then we started using the BGJP 16 to get it more spread.
Right.
And, we started from, I'd say, probably about 2000 until 19 or 20.
Right.
All we did was spider rig.
Wow. So if you could give someone a tip for going fishing and catching crappie, what would be your number one tip for say someone, a novice that doesn't get to fish a whole lot and only fishes on the weekend? What would you tell them to do that will help them catch just keeper fish, just fish that they can take home and clean?
Go buy them a bucket of minnows and be able to just, if they can figure out where a bed's at, or this time of year, then fish are starting to congregate back to the beds, the brush piles and stuff. Uh-huh. You can throw a cork and bobber right now over top of a bed and have a blast.
All right.
You know, so I would say minnows. I mean, I prefer jig fishing.
Right.
But I did go buy minnows for anybody that went with me. And, yesterday afternoon, he caught every fish. He used a 14-foot. We found those fish that they was out in front of a dock.
Right.
All out in brush piles. And I just sat there and held it still, and I'd flip in there and catch him, and he would hold a minnow
right
on that 14-foot and drop it down, and right when it got on just almost to the brush, I'd tell him to hold it. Yeah. He stopped there, and then fish would come out of the brush and hit it. So it's, I would say that the fish are going to be more aggressive right now with a bucket of minnows.
Okay.
If I was just going to go out, no live scope, and just right. go fishing, I'd take a bucket of minnows and just try to catch them that way.
All right. Well, that sounds good. That takes us over to Tackle Time. Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. They have lots of baits, different ones for crappie fishing, but they also have crankbaits. So if you're looking for crankbaits, they have 42 different colors in those and in the deep divers, and 14 in the square bills, and people like using that. They're very easy to troll crankbaits.
And, you know, and that's something I didn't think about. This time of year, until that water temperature gets down to below 70, 65 degrees, this lake is perfect to pull crankbaits. And you talk about fun. If you want to just hold a rod out the side and pull it, or you want got trolling racks in the back that you can put your, say, six poles out and do it, a good one to see to do that, they need to watch Mike Baker video.
Okay.
And Mike and Mike has done two.
A shameless plug for your team partner.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike does so many
videos
that are educational bit of a video. Right. Every time we go to do one, he tries to show something new, something different.
Right.
You know, he picks my brain a little left in there about what we can do next, you know, because he always wants to make it professional and he always wants to make you educational.
Yeah.
But he puts out some of the best that you're ever going to find. And for pulling crankbaits, he does it a little different than most people. I mean, back when we was pulling crankbaits, I had to counter reels and I was doing it all that way. Mike just goes out, throws them out, takes off, uses different types of crankbaits and different diving levels of them. And he'll vary his speed and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But he, you know, he catches a lot of fish crankbaiting. And that would be, if somebody wants to learn how to do that, I think Mike's is one of the best video on that of any that I've ever seen.
All right, there you have it. If they wanted to find out more about you, Charles, do you have a Facebook page or something that they can follow?
Yeah, they can follow me on my Facebook page, or probably you find more on Mike Baker's video. You see more than I do in anything, because him and I love to go back and fish together, and he loves to do the videos so on YouTube. So if there's probably more stuff about me on there than there is anywhere else.
There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.